Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small business. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Managing Digital.
And we're recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community, 18 Kent Street West in downtown Lindsay. And with us today, we have Rebecca McCracken, who is the editor of the Kawartha Social. Did I get your title right?
That is correct. Yeah, awesome. Editor in business development.
Ooh, so tell us about you and tell us about the various projects you have going on.
Okay, so I was originally born in Toronto. I don't know how far back you want me to go here. From the very beginning.
Yeah. Okay. What day of the week were you born on?
Oh my goodness, I don't know.
I don't know either, actually. Mm-hmm. It's a weird question to ask.
Yeah. I'm sure our mothers know.
Yes.
Yes. They never
I'm a Tuesday, so you were a few weeks later. So.
Yes, that's right.
My mom will ask me sometimes about my son's date, time of birth. Mm-hmm. Like, she knows the day, but she's like, well, what time of day? And I was like, I don't know. Afternoon, evening?
I remember with my daughter because we were addicted to Big Brother Canada. You remember that show?
Yeah.
And I know that she was born while that show was airing, because I was really upset because it was like an eviction show. So I wanted to know who was going to get evicted. So we had it on the TV. And so I was like,
yeah,
can I have this kid sooner than later so that I can like watch the rest of this episode?
Meg won't watch Amazing Race anymore because she started having contractions during that.
Oh, yeah. She remember.
Like rattled. That and House of Cards, actually. Mm-hmm. So it was good.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. First couple seasons. Mm-hmm. So.
Awesome. So you're born in Toronto?
We're getting back to it.
Tell us the rest.
So I was born in Toronto. We moved to Uxbridge when I was in grade 7. And I went to high school in Uxbridge, ended up moving up this way. My family moved to Washburn Island, and I ended up going to university in Peterborough and drove back and forth and met a lot of people and ended up staying here. So I've been in Kawartha Lakes now for 20 some odd years, they're telling my age.
Did you try to leave?
You know what? Not really, because I ended up meeting somebody here, and you know, we had a family together, and he was from here. And at that point, my family was already up here too. My sister was going to university in Peterborough as well, so I just kind of ended up staying. And then, you know, eventually over time, I had my two children, and I ended up buying Hamilton Creek off of Cheryl Reed just over 10 years ago. Mm. I had worked for her for quite a few years after having been a district manager for large corporate clothing companies. So I did that for many years, always wanted to own my own business. Met Cheryl. Cheryl was looking, you know, to kind of figure out a succession plan because she was, you know, getting ready to retire. So I started working for her. And then when she was ready to sell, I bought the business from her and continued on with that through, you know, many years through construction in our downtown core and through COVID. And then last year I decided to retire and try something new. So I sold off all my inventory and my fixtures and here I am now, finally using my university degree, as my parents would say.
Oh, so, congratulations.
Thank you. Well, that's so funny because like when my dad was at the launch party last week there for Kawartha Social at the Pied Monk. And that's what he did say. You know, it's funny how your life isn't always linear, right? You know, you make different career changes and adapt to, you know, kind of what's going on in your life at the time with your family. And you know, it's always good to set new goals and to try something different. And it's really interesting because I've spent the last 20 years working in retail. And now to be doing something completely different, it kind of recharges you, right? You know, it's something that's like new and fresh, and you know, it's sometimes good to make those changes, right? And you both have probably done that throughout your careers too.
Oh yeah, lots of changes, a lot of kind of going with the flow, not really understanding what I was doing or why, but then it all, you look back now and it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like right out of school, I took the job because I was sitting beside the owner's son in school, and we worked well together. And by work well together, I mean I did all the work. And I think he wanted to repay me. And like that job made no sense for me to be in. It was window cleaning equipment.
So Okay, I could not see you doing that.
No. Mm-hmm. And I was doing inspections for this stuff. So I was up on like giant skyscrapers downtown Toronto and all this stuff, like kicking these things that they're called anchors. Anyways, then from there, I moved into the marketing department. And then I met this guy, Andrew, who worked, then left and went to another marketing agency. And he brought me over, and I didn't know anything about digital marketing. And mm-hmm. took that job, but it didn't make any sense. And it's funny the path that we take. It's just.
Yeah, absolutely. And you learn a little bit from each step along the way, right? And kind of figuring out what it is that kind of makes you tick and what you excel at and kind of bring it all together to create this like work-life balance, right?
Yeah.
You spend more time at work than you do anywhere else, right? And
that's true. Mm-hmm. That's terrifying.
It well, is terrifying.
You don't. But
I was gonna say, you know,
ouch, are you gonna take that?
It's true.
It's true.
So it's a reality. I'm the laziest business owner entrepreneur you're ever gonna meet. I work as
lazy.
Little as humanly possible.
You're focused.
And my thing is though, like I do get up early in the morning during the week, but then I'm only home from like 6:30 to 9. Mm-hmm. And then I'm home from 5 and I go to bed at like not before 9 because mm-hmm. of how early I get up. Mm-hmm. So like, I think I am actually still here, mm-hmm. even though it doesn't seem.
It's a different work. Yeah. Yes. And that's the nice thing too, is when you can, with the flexibility of your work day, right? And that means a lot too, right? If you need, especially with, you know, young family, it's nice to be able to, slip out if you need to go do this, and as long as you get all your work done.
Yeah,
you know,
I left last week 3 times mm-hmm. early because I had to go pick them up earlier than normal. So mm-hmm. you wouldn't be able to do that if you were employed, mm-hmm. which is nice.
Employed and like the typical.
Well, yeah, work smart, not harder.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Do you miss anything about retail?
You know, I love retail, and the reason I love it is because I love the people and. Again, I've been to the night that I came to your course here about, you know, kind of when somebody comes in and it's, you know, it's a different type of sales from where, you know, you see this problem and how are you going to fix it as a salesperson. And I think that was it. Like, I loved when people would come in and they would have a function that they were going to and it was like, how can I help? And I had a children's section. It was the same thing. People would come in and, you know, their daughter was having a baby or, you know, their friend is having a baby and they're like, what's the coolest, newest thing? Like, it was, I just loved it. You know, that was the, you know, the highlight for me with retail is being kind of a problem solver for people and creating friends along the way. And that's especially, you know, key in a small town like we are. Mm-hmm. You create those really like close knit relationships. So I do miss that. But the thing is with what I'm doing now, I still get to see all these people.
Yeah.
So it's just in a different way. It's a different environment now. And I think with Cortho Social too, it kind of encompasses, you know, all the things that, you know, again, we have a fashion section, which, you know, that's obviously a passion of mine, but, you know, fitness and food and, you know, community. And so I guess it's bringing everything together. And it's finally, you know, here at in my 40s, I'm like, this is what I was meant to do.
You were meant to do. So which magazine, teen magazine from the late 90s most inspired Co-Ortho Social?
That's a great,
YM 17?
I'm impressed with your knowledge of teen magazines.
I forgot about YM, but I
wasn't
watched.
Wasn't it like Mbop and like, that wasn't
maybe?
I was like 17.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Do you remember the one?
Yeah.
And it was like the pull-ins and it was just like all the teen stars. There wasn't a lot of content. It was just pictures
of pop stars.
I do remember pulling them out and putting them on my wall.
Spice Girls, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, 98 Degrees.
Hanson.
Yeah,
Hanson. Maybe that's
what
I was thinking.
Yeah.
I watched American Pie over the weekend and someone had a YM magazine.
Oh, really?
Because I remembered like 17.
I did like 17 and like Cosmo. Even before, maybe I was reading like the adult Cosmo, there was Cosmo Girl too.
Oh,
so
that seems like grooming, but okay.
Yeah.
That's a different conversation.
Oh my goodness.
But now, you know, many years later, mm-hmm. you are reviving that culture of people want a magazine that's local and has some cool social stuff.
And I honestly, though, I feel like Worth the Social more is like Shadowing meets Elle. You know, it's talking about like contemporary magazines. That's kind of the model a little bit. The interesting thing is that you're saying is that I received a phone call this morning from a woman in Peterborough, and she had picked up the magazine. I don't know her, so a complete stranger. And it was like, it really touched my heart because she picked it up at a grocery store in Peterborough and absolutely loved it and pointed out there was a few things that we talked about, places in Quartha Lakes to visit. And she had been to most of the places in Peterborough, but that's what she said. She's going to go to the Kenry Park Christmas special that they put on. She read about forest bathing. She's going to do that. She actually read the magazine from front to cover and loved it. And I was like, it's just feedback like that that's making me so excited about the next issue
That's awesome.
As we continue to work on it and evolve. And
the holiday gift guide, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this, is the best thing I've ever seen in print or publication in Quartha Lakes.
Really?
Ever.
I'm so happy that
this was
said that.
So cool.
Matt has it open now.
I'm honestly showing the camera that
this is the first
here.
Time.
Can I take a picture of you holding it?
Yeah, of course. This was the coolest thing I've ever seen in print up here for any paper publication. This to me, and like we're not trying to chase Toronto and big city stuff, but like this is like was a big time publication move. I loved
it. I learned about some places that I didn't know existed from that, which I think is the best thing about this. And I've heard from some people who are on it that almost within a day of it releasing, people came in looking specifically for it. So it works. Like, it's so good.
It's funny though, because it popped into my mind. A lot of national magazines do this and newspapers, but wanting to do it locally was easier said than done. This is the first issue. So nobody really, you know, as I'm going into retailers and talking about it, we did have our designer, Christina Dettis, who absolutely, I cannot believe that she is still working with us because we put her through a really painful time. And I mean, this magazine, she did such a great job on it. And I mean, she really, you know, I kind of kept pushing back on, you know, kind of being like, Christine, we need to do something a little bit more fun. It needs to be so different than, you know, the other publications that she helps with, like the Lindsay Advocate and the Business Advocate. So because it's a completely different look graphically. But with the gift guide, it was a little bit labor intensive, but I'm so happy the way it turned out. And I think going forward, now that people can actually see what it looks like.
Oh, it's going to be like the hot thing to look at.
Yeah, I'm excited. And that's the thing too, is that again, having been a business owner in Quartha Lakes and it's all about, you know, drawing people into our downtown course and keeping them here. And a lot of times I've heard in the past that people don't realize that we have such a great mix of stores in our downtown course, whether it be, you know, Lindsay or Fenland Falls or Bob Cajun. We're pretty diverse. And so that was kind of what I wanted to show. Like, there's all these great things. You do not need to leave, you know, our city to shop for your family and friends this holiday season.
Yeah,
I'm glad it turned out, and I'm glad that you really like it. I mean, the feedback has been good. A lot of people have pointed out that was the highlight for them.
Oh, really? Like, the whole thing was amazing. It was great, but I saw that. And I just, like, I think I don't know if I text Brian, but I was going to take a picture and be like, this is incredible. Like, they nailed this. So it was really cool. So
yeah, I'm glad that it worked out. And I mean, you know, next, like, I would like to replicate it again in our spring issue, but, you know, focus more going into like Mother's Day and Father's Day because we come out before that, or even whether it be, you know, a bridal shower. So again, have a mixture of things that you can find in our local communities that are a great place to, you know, shop. And
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. We know what you do, but what do you do? I don't think not everybody listening, what does an editor mean or business development mean?
Well, it's similar to what I did before with owning my own business, where a lot of times I wear a lot of different hats. I had somebody actually ask me at the launch party, they're like, so what does your day look like? I'm like, it's, you know, not a typically structured day. A lot of it is just, you know, in the morning, I'm obviously going through my emails and like everybody does, and, you know, responding to people who are looking for, advertising space in one of the magazines. It's also just being like creative, because we always have to think with, again, with the Lindsay Advocate, we come out monthly. So it's, you know, always thinking about what are we going to have in future issues, and, you know, what writers are going to be working on what piece, and trying to pull that all together. And a lot of it too, I'm not going to lie, sometimes I scroll through social media and I'm like, oh, like I'll see that there's something happening, right? Yeah. Where people are posting their events and using that to be like, okay, we need to look into this. Because it's all about, you know, right now, because we don't have a newspaper any longer in Port of the Lake. So, you know, we're kind of your only print media. So it's, you know, trying to find all these things on social media that, you know, people may get, that may get missed, right? And so, you know, we want to include in the next issue. So a lot of it is just about, you know, creative brainstorming. Obviously, when writers submit their pieces, I edit them and then upload them to our designers to start layout. So cause it's, that's a never ending process. And then again, a lot of back and forth with our advertisers, which again, a big shout out to, because without them, you know, we would never make it to print. So, but you're a welcome. Lot of back and forth, making sure that they're happy with their ads part.
You're welcome.
I know. Yeah. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. Yes, exactly. Yeah. No, it is so true. Cause that's what I mean. I'm thanking all my team, but again, it is, the magazine would not be printed without advertisers. So we do especially appreciate their support, but you know, we hope we're also giving back and, you know, helping them reach their customers too, right? So, you know, it's a team effort for sure. Did that answer the question?
Yeah, no, definitely. Okay. I just we'd ask, like, I forget what Brian said, but then I just realized, like, we understand what she does, but yeah. I don't think people know what an editor, I'm not in 100% what an editor does or what, like, well, business development makes sense.
And sometimes in, like, the whole news industry, there's, like, different types of editors and different things, and I don't know all that jargon.
Yeah.
Either. What are the publications that you're...
They're all under Fireside Publishing House. So we have the three magazines, Core the Social, which is our newest one that came out November 1st, the Business Advocate, which came out October 1st. Both those magazines will be published three times a year, kind of alternating months. And then we have the Lindsay Advocate, which is a monthly magazine.
Are you going to do the relocation guide, Andy?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so that's cool. Another thing that we're working on too. So we actually have 19 magazines coming out every year. So that keeps us pretty busy, but we have staggered them so that there's never more than two coming out in a month, only because it's a lot of work. But again, as we're talking about editing, once the layout's complete, it's, you know, I go through again to make sure that all the ads are in the spots where we've promised and that we're not missing anything out. And, you know, it is those few days before we go to print is, it's like crunch time. And then you just cross your fingers and hope that once the magazine is printed and delivered, that we didn't miss anything. And every once in a while, it's like I spot one thing and I'm thinking, I've spent so many hours staring at this on the computer. How did you miss one little thing? And so then I always tell myself the next month, there's not going to be anything. In Cortha Social, I think we were pretty clean, so I'm pretty happy about it.
Just tell people there's a prize when they... But it was intentional to do some research.
But how many times have you read a novel and like that one, you know?
I've seen,
all the time, right? But and I'm thinking, oh, that editor must have been so mad at themselves.
I do print marketing stuff too, and it stresses me out a lot more than digital, because like digital goes up, it goes down. Sometimes if there's an error with the digital stuff, I don't even care. It's like, whatever. It'll go away. But like, I've done print stuff that always scares me. I once put a QR code on something of my own that did not work.
Oh, okay.
And that, I think publication was like an annual one too.
Oh, no.
It was like a map. It was too small. It just didn't work. And like that, it stresses me out. Like every time you're like, I'm staring at it, I'm looking at it back and forth purchasing. It's just, I couldn't imagine doing this. It would scare me. It gives me anxiety thinking about it.
I'm even like that when I send an email, I'll reread the email probably three times before I send it. I can't handle.
I don't.
No. A lot of people don't. They're just like,
I find it comforting when other people make mistakes on emails.
Oh, really?
In real life. I remember being like, you know, coming out of college and, you know, everyone telling you that everything has to be perfect all the time. And then I worked for the bank and you get like an email from the vice president with like mistakes in it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, like This is real life. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you don't want to be sloppy all the time, mm-hmm. but those things happen.
Absolutely.
I'll pay a bit more attention if it's to someone I just started working with, mm-hmm. maybe, or like an actual person I'm working with. If I'm emailing either of you, I type it mm-hmm. and I send it. I don't even look at it. I don't type it. Like, who cares?
I'm pretty formal in emails until when somebody returns an email to me and then there's no longer the, you know, hi, Rebecca, or then I follow suit. I'm like, okay, then I'll match now your tone and stop dropping. Like, I'll drop the formalities and be like, okay, now we can just go back and forth this way. But I usually start off pretty formal and then just respond accordingly, I guess.
Yeah. Like, just meet the cursive deadline.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So true.
So 19 is a weird number. So I have a pitch for the 20th magazine for the year.
All about Brian Rump?
No. Although in a way, yes.
Yes, okay.
The Kawartha Wish Book. Pure Christmas gift-giving guide. Mm-hmm.
I would like to do that in Kawartha Social next winter. I think it's something that we could grow on for sure, but that is a good idea.
Yeah. That's all you had to say. Podcast over.
Okay. Yeah. You're welcome.
Do you have to pay to get into it then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You would, because that's how you're paying. You know, print is but not it could be
like an
right?
adventure through mm-hmm. the Kawarthas and all like the gifts available. Mm-hmm. Like it could be like a good store feature. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the things we're focusing on.
It's almost like, creating like a community flyer.
Yeah, like a nice one like mm-hmm. this versus like, you know, sometimes there's stuff that's like spamming you and it's all like, come in. But mm-hmm. this is like, here's some specific things that makes you be like, oh, I'd like to go to that store.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me, in all seriousness, that's a good idea mm-hmm. because this came out a couple days after Halloween.
Yes.
Right? So I brought this home the Saturday after Halloween. We're looking through it. My kids look at it. They see the candy charcuterie board here, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
$35 at Burns. There's another one that's a bit more. There's a lot more going on. And they're like, oh my God, we want a candy charcuterie board. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Burns's right now. And I'm like, dudes, it was like Halloween 3 days ago.
How quickly they forget, right?
So I'm like, you give me $1 each and I'll put together a charcuterie board with your Halloween candy. And I made $2.
Really?
I took their money.
That's a dad win.
Meg was like, are you really going to do that? And I was like, yeah, why not? And like, we all save money here.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
And then I made them put their boards together.
It's just a fun activity.
Yeah. So I think it's a great idea because like the kids saw this and they just saw that specifically. They mm-hmm. saw Unwrapped, like Auntie Jess is there or whatever, but mm-hmm. like they saw the candy charcuterie, which was really cool.
Yeah. And, like, that was the highlight for them.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. I'm glad to know that our readership is so young.
I was like, I thought a lot of stuff was.
It's a really, you know, it's funny you say that because like, print has been like when I was a kid, and I'm sure you were a kid too. Like, we had like stacks of magazines
everywhere. 100%.
That's and
what
you used
always...
to like manage your all of your subscriptions for them mm-hmm. all. And now, like, I don't get hardly any. So it's like a novelty to mm-hmm. get something you want to look at. So for kids who don't see, like, they don't even see toy commercials mm-hmm. nowadays or cereal commercials, like, they're probably a bit captivated by it. And something like, I was thinking about, you know, Burns walking by it. Mm-hmm. It's the type of place where when you go in as a kid, you want to go the rest of your life or you mm-hmm. remember it. Like, they'll probably remember the candy charcuterie board thing for an unreasonably long time.
We're downtown yesterday getting lattes over at Kindred, and then the kids are like getting all antsy because they had to wait for 90 seconds in line. So I took them outside, and like,
that's me too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not a slap at Kindred. It was perfectly fine. Yeah. It was a perfectly reasonable line. It was awesome. It was busy. It was exciting to be busy and Lindsay on Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. But the kids are like climbing up the wall. So I take them out, and like, they think of Burns as the candy store. Mm-hmm. Which is cool. Like, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's a store that has a lot of candy. Mm-hmm. And like, to them, they're like, can we go to the candy store? And I was like, well, no, we don't need that. But
yeah, I love though too how they've brought in all that like nostalgic candy. Yeah. That reminds me of being a kid too, which is a neat, you know, addition again to.
Yeah.
What was your favorite candy as a kid?
This has gone totally off the rails.
Lick-a-Mates. Do you remember the Lickamades? It was the candy stick.
Oh, yeah. And you'd, get like, those at the fun fair.
Exactly. And I actually wrote a piece in high school I can't remember why I wrote it about Lickamades, but I do remember that I got 95% on that paper. It was a whole paper.
You should rewrite it and put it in the Kawartha social.
Oh, I could find it somewhere.
Are they fun dips?
They fun dips.
That's what they're called now. So, we had
A1
and
my kids. But I think they were called Lickamades.
I thought it was fun dips. I'm not nearly as old as you two, but so for Halloween they got one.
Podcast over.
Yeah, and I gave one to my youngest one. He put it in his mouth and immediately just tried to spit it out. Like he didn't know what to do. He just was like trying to get out. I'm like, do you not like the taste or like how it was popping on your mouth? He said the taste was not good.
Good. But oh yeah, it was just pure hilarious. Sugar.
Yeah. My other son ate the rest. He's like, this is great.
Yeah, I thought they were pretty great. Yeah. That's the one I remember the most is, and candy was so cheap then too, right? Like I remember, getting a buck and going to the store and getting
five
maybe I am showing my age.
No. 5 cent candies were on the way out the door when I was a kid, but we still had them at Jug City. That was the place to go.
Yeah. We still had penny candies a bit.
Oh, we missed those.
Yeah, like Swedish berries would have been like.
Yeah. Oh, and you get a little brown paper bag.
Yeah.
I think COVID kind of ruined.
It went to weight, right?
Yeah.
Like, because they used to not have scales everywhere. Like, you'd have like a old man who was smoking. He would like dump a bunch of candy on the counter and count them one at a time.
They
touch them all. Like, that was just how it worked back then. So, good times. Yeah. Good times.
Do you want to keep talking about the magazine or candy?
Let's talk about the magazine.
Okay. Did you ask this? Why this magazine? Why did you want this out there?
It's interesting because I worked for the Lindsay Advocate, for probably about 6 months before I came up with this idea. And it was one of those things, again, where I just realized we didn't have anything in Kawartha region like this. And talking again about magazines, I love magazines. I've always loved magazines. I'm at the grocery store and I'm standing in line and it's hard for me not to pick up like two or three magazines. Like there's something about the print of it that I love sitting at home and, maybe having a glass of wine or a coffee and it's just relaxing to me. It kind of reminds me of simpler times. And so I just thought, why don't we have anything that's a local lifestyle magazine that's featuring, local artists, whether they be, musicians or, or paint on canvas and both of those we featured. It was just a mixture of all these ideas of things that I like about other magazines.
Yeah.
And making it local, making it about like our community, because there's nothing in this magazine that isn't about who we are as a community in Kawartha Lakes and Peterborough region.
Yeah. I thought while you were saying that we do have those magazines, but they're cottage and home ones. Like, that's not everybody's life.
Yeah,
this is
more
social.
Like, they're
this
more
is
niche,
true. Yeah.
Right? Like, whereas I feel like there's a lot of different things in here that there's something for everybody, I think. And originally we thought maybe it was going to be more women read. But interestingly enough, I've had a lot of men reach out to me too and say, it was great. They really enjoyed the articles. And you said you flipped through it. You're just buttering me up.
No, I did.
Just looked at the pictures.
As a paying advertiser, I always pick as the advocate. I look at my ad and that. but this one, I was like, it's new. I want to look at it. What was the other one? The business one. I looked through that. I am invested in the advocate. So
I went and found one specifically because I didn't know it was out, and then I knew the launch party was happening, and I was like, I better look through it before I go
do your research.
Launch party, and it is great. It's relaxed. Like you're right, it's relaxing. We're not bombarded with magazines. I think you can get sick of scrolling on the internet, and I find even when I'm doing that, you don't always stop to recognize the local content, but there's so many things that happen, and I call it the things people wish happen, they don't think happen, and then they have to find out it actually happens and then actually do it. So, the events or the things to do where you're like, oh, I can, do all the things it says to do this month in this magazine, and people like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. And I'm super lucky because kind of when I pitched it to Roger, who's been on this podcast before, and who's the publisher for the Lindsay Advocate Fireside Publishing.
LindsayAdvocate.ca.
That's what you said to say.
Is it the Lindsay Advocate or Lindsay Advocate?
It's LindsayAdvocate.ca.
Why do they not have the Lindsay Advocate.ca too? Anyways, because we'll edit this out.
Yeah. No. I'm pretty sure it's just LindsayAdvocate.ca.
All I know is I'm buying the LindsayAdvocate.ca for $20.
No, I think we own that too, but I think it's just LindsayAdvocate.ca. So, and then you're able to, there's CorthaSocial.ca and there's BusinessAdvocate.ca as well, where you can read our most current magazines online as well as all past issues. So that's a little bit. Roger was very supportive when I, originally pitched him with the idea of Cortha Social, again, because it's something totally different than, I kind of keep comparing, like, the Lindsay Advocate's, like, a local Maclean's magazine.
Sure.
Whereas this is, Maclean's and Chatelaine are both owned by the same publishing company. And so this is, again, going back to, like, being, this is our kind of local Chatelaine. And surprisingly, he seemed pretty supportive and we were able to make it happen. So, and Denise Walsren, who's like our feature writer, she was super excited about it. And then, our graphic team, like it just all kind of came together. And it was pretty labor intensive, but now that we kind of have a model and know what we're doing, I think, going forward with future issues, it's going to be, we're still learning and we're still, taking feedback from people who are like, oh, I'd really like to see this or that, or, it's taking it all into account.
It's so exciting because I just think it's not every day that you see print launch.
I know. That's what you were saying at the party.
It's just so special for me to be part of that and to sort of witness it and to, make sure you get that congratulations because it's, it's not a normal, sane thing to do, yet everyone likes it and it seems so natural. And it's just a cool project to work on. So for your team and everyone, like that would be, it's fun to work on things that are fun.
Yeah.
And
it is fun. And that's what I mean. Like, thank you for being a part of it too. You guys are fun. Part of the process, right? So
Does anything like this exist anywhere though? Like local lifestyle social magazine, because you said it was unique to Corthas, but like I don't know the industry, but I can't imagine it's natural or normal anywhere really.
There are some similar models, especially in the kind of Quinte area.
Oh really?
There's like Grapevine magazine,
sure,
is really well done. There definitely are.
Interesting,
but still different. Like we're still, it's a unique thing because of who's involved with it, right? So everybody has a different vision of what they want, and so that's what makes it unique, I guess. But I think it's something that we can kind of continue to expand.
What's the worst pitch you've received from somebody who wants a section or something in it where you're just like, oh, that is not a good idea?
There hasn't really been anything.
You're
looking us in the eyes of life. I wish I had a really good story.
There's a bad idea for sure there somewhere.
I'm trying to think. Not that I can think of. I mean, I do, not necessarily for Cortha Social, but I mean, we do get a lot of phone calls to the Lindsay Advocate, and everybody wants their stories told, and so sometimes we can do it, sometimes we can't. Again, we're never going to print something that's like, kind of a slanderous, So I mean, there's sometimes where I have received some phone calls from people where, this isn't something that can be published in our community magazine. Like this, you have to go to different avenues if you want this.
There it
settled,
is.
Right?
Kawartha scandal.
Yeah.
And just put in an anonymous, scandalous article on every page.
Yeah. Actually, I did have somebody pitch me. I do like the idea because a lot of magazines do this, like a page six. And so we kind of took, which is like a gossip page, right?
A hot goss.
Exactly. But the thing with me is I would never want to pass on anything that's like hurtful about somebody else. So it was more of like, the person that I was having this discussion with, it was more about how could we do it in you know, a way that's like more thoughtful and kind, you know, like, but like still interesting, like, you know,
oh, kind of like shout out.
Yeah. Like almost in the way of like, you know, we heard a rumor that there's a new store moving downtown. Like that's exciting news. It's not hurting anybody.
Cool.
It's like,
I heard Walmart's like coming.
We've been hearing that for like, I've been in Coeur d'Alene for 20 years. I've been hearing that for 20 years. So
it'll be here by
never
next
happened.
Christmas.
That's what we got a Target. I do kind of miss the Target, but that's, there was something.
That's a good
that.
Idea to have, like,
I like that
something
idea.
Like that.
Well, that's, we kind of tried to do that.
You could do paid messages too. Like, in that, I would pay to put a message to like Matt in there. That was kind of hilarious.
You can do it. You can do that at the end. You got like the classifieds at the end, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
It's like $25 a post.
That's in the Lindsay Advocate.
Oh,
no,
was
not,
it?
Yeah,
okay.
Not in Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, that'd be
like,
fun.
When you do like a personal.
Story. Yeah.
Personal, yeah, let's do it.
Oh, that'd be fun. That'd be hilarious. I'd spend an unreasonable amount of money on that.
Oh, just
to mess with people.
Just to
yeah.
do some funny,
oh, yeah.
like, back and forth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember once my friend paid, you could, like, have people send, like, funny cards and stuff. And there was, like, one where I was, like, congratulations on, like, falling for every pyramid scheme. That's, like, like, fun things like that. You could,
that'd be fun.
As long as you could do it in a way that like made people laugh and felt mm-hmm. social.
That, so that's probably now. That's my most ridiculous pitch I've ever seen.
Yeah, thank you.
So now I have an answer for
yeah.
it. I'm
Let's
just teasing.
Do it.
No, that's
I'm
good.
Just teasing. I'm just teasing.
Matt and I will just be buying space to troll each other.
As long as you want to buy space, you can.
The only other thing I thought of to mess with you during this was when you said you get calls, I'm like, ooh, does it go straight to voicemail? Because I would call and leave you a message every day with a new ridiculous story,
okay.
but pretend as if I'm serious. Be like, Rebecca, I've got the hottest scoop. You've got to talk about this. I could do this every day.
Yes, if you have anything interesting to say, it probably will go to voicemail. But
right. Now every time you phone, it's just voicemail.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll program you in so I know.
Do not answer.
Do not answer.
Do not accept calls.
Blocked caller.
Blocked caller. Awesome. I think this has been a great conversation.
We should do this more. This was fun.
Yeah.
For someone that was the most vocally nervous I'd ever experienced before the podcast, this turned out a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, okay.
And no, it always was going to be good. But
I knew it was going to be
good. I knew it was going to be good. This is great. This is fun. Like,
yeah.
When you become official sponsors of the podcast.
LindsayAdvocate.ca.
Yeah, thelindsayadvocate.ca. I think we could do like a recurring monthly thing about like a social episode. Just come in here, chat, whatever.
I think we could also sell our conversation we had before this that we secretly recorded. And that is like bonus content for subscribers only.
That is blackmail.
Yes, exactly. And I will be visiting the police station on my way out.
Yeah. We recorded evidence of it now,
yeah.
too.
No, this is a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys supporting what we're trying to do here in Coeur d'Alene with our print media. And this has been a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thanks
yeah,
for coming.
This has been
great.
A great time.
Yeah,
thank
you.
If you want to have a great time too and have a chat with us, please reach out and set that up at setitup@coeurthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.